It's called entitled Experiment with Bowtie Limited Diffraction Beams by Jiwa Liu from the Mayo. And are you going to use this podium? So you can point it right there.
Lotteries in magic limited diffraction beams have been studied for several years. And for example, the zeroth order Bessel beams and the zeroth order X-ray. The beam pattern, transverse beam pattern of these beams are shown here. Then the left-hand side is a Bessel beam, and on the right-hand side is the zeroth order X-ray. You'll see if I have the central maximum and the beam intensity, beam pressure gradually drop, and also in the case of X-ray. And this beam theoretically can keep this pattern propagate in towards the audience to infinite distance in theory. But in practice, when you produce them with finite aperture, it can maintain very large distance of the minimal diffraction. This is an actual beam pattern, which is the looker. Transducer is here, and the beam propagates in, from left to right. And the distance here is about 20 centimeters, and the aperture about 50 millimeters. You can see the beam have approximately uniform beam widths over the large depths of interest. Here is almost the surface of transducer, and here is 20 centimeters. And this is the X-ray, which also transducer is here, and it's measured in water about 100 millimeters away from the surface of transducer. From these images, we can see these beams have very large depths of field, but also we see some they have some high side lobes, and therefore they might be difficult to detect low scattering objects like a sixth. Bowtie limited diffraction beam is a new type of beam which was developed recently. And this beam was obtained by taking derivatives of rotary symmetric limited diffraction beams along one transverse direction here. Say we took derivative along y-axis of the beam. The beam is going along the z-axis. And also, this will result in the bowtie limited diffraction beam, which is asymmetrical. This is the transverse view of these beams. This is a rotary symmetric X-ray. After two derivative along the vertical direction, with the fourth derivative, we can see the beam pattern changes. And with tenth derivative, the beam pattern further changes. And because of this asymmetrical nature, these beams can be used for side lobe reduction in pulse echo imaging. This is because the transverse pulse echo response is a modification of transmit and the receive beam patterns, and thus the side lobes are reduced when receive beam patterns rotate 90 degrees from that of transmit. And depth of field of bowtie limited diffraction beam is the same as the originally rotary symmetric limited diffraction beam from which they are derived. This is the this figure explains how this works. In transmitter, we transmit a bowtie limited diffraction beam, and in receive, we rotate it to 90 degrees, and then the transmit and the receive pattern will be multiplied in a pulse echo system. And this is the result. This is a pulse echo response. If we don't do don't use bow tie beam, we use regular, actually symmetric beam to post echo imaging, we'll end up on lots of side look here. And with the fourth derivative bow tie limited diffraction beam, we reduce the side look. And further, with 10th derivative bow tie beams, we further reduce the side look. We notice here the scale is from 0 dB to minus 70 dB, which is to show the low side looks. The objective of this study is to produce bow tie limited diffraction beams and then post echo responses with a synthetic array experiment, and then compare the results with those of simulations and the theory. We also do the simulation by using a computer, which is based on the Huygens principle. And this was done by weighting an aperture in both space and time, and then summing the contributions from all elements over the aperture. Here is how this figure illustrates how this transducer is weighted. In this direction, which we call the x direction, if we weight it, and then we have a high peak in the center, and then gradually reduce the amplitude on the outer elements of the transducer. And in the vertical axis, we also do the same thing, but with a larger peak on the outer element. Then those in the x direction, this vertical direction is y direction. And this the simulation is done with the Rayleigh Sommerfeld diffraction formula. That is based on the Huygens principle. That is to say, the acoustical field produced at the position, spatial position, is the summation of the point source over the aperture. The point source is actually a spherical waves propagating to this point. By summing all these points, we get the field response at the space we want. The experiment is based on the assumption that a weighted two-dimensional array transmitting simultaneously is equivalent to the transducer transmitting sequential element by element, or it's equivalent to use one transmitter and then one small transmit element by moving around the aperture and the transmit sequentially. This is a figure illustrates how it works. The 2D transducer, 2D array transducer transmitted simultaneously with all its elements is equivalent to one the transducer element excited one by one and then produce a field at point P and then get P which is equivalent. Or it's equivalent with one transducer and moving it around over the entire aperture and sum all the contributions to the point of P. And now I will show the block diagram, which will show the transmitting with a small element, receiving with little hydrophone, and the data acquired, which will be used for beamforming and obtaining lateral line plots of the beam. Here's a water tank. We do the experiment. I use a small diameter transmitter, which is about a millimeter in diameter, and a small diameter hydrophone that has 0.5 millimeter in diameter. Either the transmitter or the hydrophone can be scanned in a raster format to acquire the data. Because the motion of the transmitter and the receiver is relative, so you can do either way with transmitter to move or use receiver to scan. Here is the illustration of the acquired data, how it's arranged. Each grid here represents each transmitter position with the hydrophone fixed in space. And in this direction, that means acquired data in time. At a distance z equal to 100 millimeters, and we have 300 samples acquired. With distance at larger, we get less samples, like 200 samples. And the aperture weighting was done by we have an aperture, circular aperture, and weighted with the radical bowtie limited diffraction being calculated at the aperture, and then move this aperture from left to right, and we will get at a tight reference position, we get the line plot along the lateral lateral axis. The result, I will show some lateral pulse echo response and a peak of beam along the actual axis. This is the result. Here we look at solid line is the result from experiment. And the dotted line result from simulation. And the dashed line from theory. And the long dashed line is from the zero symmetric, actually symmetric limited diffraction beam pulse echo response. And we can see this was obtained at a distance C equal to 100 millimeters with aperture of 15 millimeters in diameter and a central frequency of 2.5 megahertz. We see the beam plot simulation and the theory are very close, and the experiment also very close. Here is noise because the computation noise is high in, and the size of it is extremely low, so we get computation noise. And also in experiment we have noise because each element is small and the distance is large, so the spherical wave decayed at the receiver position. And these four panels represent the beam measured at four different angles from the x-axis. This is 0 degree, 15, 30, and 45 degrees. And this figure shows the actual beam, the peak of the waves along the actual distance. You can see the peak is almost constant, and then have a small fluctuate and distance 216 millimeter, it dropped to minus 6 dB, which is the depth of field we designed this beam. Solid line is a bowtie beam with tense derivative, and then dotted force derivative, and then dashed line is zero solid x-ray. And the long dashed line, this line is from the theory, supposed to not change over distance. In conclusion, from the above study, we conclude that a new type of limited diffraction beam, called the bowtie beam, has been developed. The new beams have been studied in theory, simulation, and experiment. The experiment agrees very well with the theory and the simulation, and the new beams are very promising for low side lobe and large depths of field pulse echo imaging. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
It was a very nice piece of work. I congratulate you on it. I have two questions, please. First, at the very beginning, you said you were differentiating the pattern. Did you mean the differentiating the aperture excitation?
The entire beam, because the entire beam is a function of x, y, z, and the time t.
But how do you differentiate a beam?
Along the y-axis, do partial differentiation.
But of what? What do you differentiate?
Over the space, over the axis.
Are you differentiating? Are you differentiating in the aperture or out in the field?
It's because we can have theoretical expression of the whole beams. So we just do differential against the axis one.
Okay, thank you. Second question. You said that you're multiplying transmit and receive patterns. And that takes me back to the Mills Cross first radio astronomy array 40 years ago, which was brilliant in getting a very sharp spot with low side lobes, but it was very bad in spatial intermodulation between closely spaced stars, because of the multiplicative process. Have you looked into how this would perform on a multiplicity of scatterings in contrast to the single one that you've done your experimentation with?
No, I haven't looked at that yet.
I just would like to offer one little suggestion.
rather than calling it X beams, could you call it U beams or something? Because every time I look up there, I see X wave, and I read X ray. And us ultrasound people have been combating the X ray guys for a long time. So. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. Moving on then to our next presentation. It's going to be ultra-sparse, ultra-wideband phased arrays.